If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us the way you have. Thank you for the trials that came this week and the smiles that we wore during them. Thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are in need of physical or spiritual healings. And thank you for blessing everyone in attendance today with the changing of the showbread and an opportunity to have our faith shared with others so that many more will come into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for blessing us all with the latter rain, if we are worthy. And thank you for helping us stay on the path so we can be worthy. And thank you for blessing us with truth, something that can't quite be explained to some people. But we try. And so thank you for watering those seeds as well. And please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Again, Sabbath blessings. And to the new people, Willow and Billy H., welcome. And Billy H., check your PM. I think you're, I think maybe you lost your password. Is that why you're using that different account or something? I don't know. So check your PM if you're nearby, or he'll see it when he gets back. Seven blessings to you, Brother Tony. Yeah, I know. I sent you a PM that I was for Billy. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, if you're new and want to follow along in this study, just scroll underneath the chat room and you'll see the study notes, and you're going to have to scroll down to the yellow question, which is number 12. Right. And that question is, when people were converted in Ephesus, what did they do with their evil books? And it's Acts chapter 19, verse 19. Thank you, Brother Sean. Did Brother Goran lose internet or something like that? I haven't seen him in 2 weeks now. I hope everything's okay. I'm going to have to give that man a call. All right, if I got his phone number, I don't even know if I have it. But anyway, make sure he's okay. All right, Acts 19:19. It says, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. It's a lot. Especially in those days, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. But this is no different than when a babe in Christ sees, when they first meet Jesus and they first find him as Savior, this is what a lot of us go through. Those things the babe in Christ used to lust after now is pretty revolting to them. They abhor it, as it says in the Word. And this is why they burned the books they once loved in Ephesus. Christ has that much power on the hearts of his obedient followers. And it's not like a control issue or anything like that. You want to burn them because you are in love with the Lord. And that love compels you to please him. This is something no other religion on earth can claim. And by the way, they burned those books. They didn't sell them for profit, nor did they hand them to strangers. As gifts. They burned them so as to prevent others from being affected the way they were affected. They understood it. And this is why I believe that the Apostle Luke is making it clear that they found it to be worth 50,000 pieces of silver. But yet they burned it. I recall years ago how I had a huge stack of DVDs. We shared this last night, as a matter of fact. It was a favorite sitcom I used to watch, MASH 4077. Before I realized God's will on what to do with the DVDs, I promised them to a friend because I no longer watched them. Almost immediately, the Holy Spirit convicted me that I should not have offered them to give to him. So I burned them. And I wonder if this, well, I don't really think, like I was saying last night, I don't think it soiled the relationship at all. I've never explained to him why I didn't give him the DVDs, and I hope to do so soon, because I want to do it in a way that'll glorify the Lord. And that might be why the Lord's waiting to give me the words, but I don't know, something's obviously going to happen soon. So, but for those wondering about your old video games, Hollywood movies, or rock music, you now have your answer from the Word of God as to what to do with them. If you give them to a friend, you tempt them to be sucked into Satan's web just as you were before you met Christ. And so, do the right thing. Burn them. All right, so number 13, let's just go right into that. What type of music is best for the Christian? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That being said, is it any wonder the music of today is the way it is? You are aware that Satan is the angel of music, right? He even has musical instruments built into his body. So his ministry is going to be focused around that fact. Hey, if you look in the scripture, you'll see how music is used to calm the demons in King Saul, to get the people to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's statue, and so on and so forth. And of course, the music young David played on his harp was of a blessed music, and the demons in Saul simply don't want to be around such things, and so, of course, it calmed down Saul. But have you noticed today how music is everywhere now? It's in the grocery store, it's in the malls, in the office buildings, it's in the elevators, it's on your cell phone when you're on hold. Some stores even play the music outside the store to draw people in the stores, which reminds me of Radio Shack and Fowler. I couldn't believe that. I wouldn't want to be the people that lived across the street. Even though it was a main street through town, it was just still a one-lane street, you know? One lane for one direction, one lane for the other. I guess they call that two lanes, I don't know. But there's a house directly across the street, and he had this little loudspeaker on the outside of Radio Shack playing the music that he was piping in side the store all day long, and it was just, you know, mostly 70s music, because he was a guy from that era. And but even I remember a few times going through town to get something like on a Sunday, and he was closed, that music just blaring away, nobody complained. Strange. I mean, that would have drove me up a wall if I was living across the street. And music does have an effect on people to this day. As I stated in an earlier study, when I was young, I would put my foot down on the accelerator in the car whenever I had my, you know, whenever my favorite song showed up on the radio. And science has recently proven that music can affect how we live our lives. I mean, seriously. I remember reading about this years ago. Because I used to like reading, you know, Science Digest and Popular Science and all that stuff. And then the internet came, and wow, there's all sorts of stuff on. I just get into science. I mean, especially creation, science of creation and the way the Lord. That's why the stuff that I saw with Dr. Carl Baugh was just jaw-dropping to me, because, I mean, he used actual modern-day technology to show that which states, which is stated in the book of Genesis in regard to creation week. With today's science, they have proven it's, and they're only going to say the word plausible to prevent arguments, but he's proven that, you know, like, for example, when the Lord said, "Let there be light," well, everything was just a ball of water at that time. And so all you see in the scriptures is water that already has a north and south pole polarity to it, because the Holy Spirit wafted its wings over it, which also shows all three are there. You know, let us make man in our image, kind of a thing. But anyway, the water's already formed into a round ball, and you can still see the north and south polarity of water to this day. If you got a leaky faucet, you know it doesn't just come out and fall in shapes of puzzles or long streams and stuff. You know, and no, it comes out, and then when it goes halfway through the air before it hits the bottom of the sink, it's a round ball. And there's all sorts of slow motion videos online to prove that, but But getting back to the science of music affecting our lives, I remember reading this article once, and actually it was a white paper. It was kind of in-depth about how they showed music does affect the human body. And I can attest to this because, like I said earlier, when I used to be driving down the road, and I was a nut with a car anyway, and so I was always speeding when I was a teenager. And but when a song came on the radio, I was speeding even more so. And so when I started reading on this white paper, I found that, yeah, it makes sense to me because I experienced what they're talking about here. And what I'm talking about is they had a control. They had three experiments, and one was just a control issue where there was no music piped into this cage in a soundproof room, and the cage was like a giant aquarium filled with rats. And in the next room, which was another soundproof room that couldn't hear anything from any of the other rooms, they piped in classical music. And then in the last room, they piped in rock music with no lyrics, just the melodies, you know, the beat, if you will. I mean, they could have just done that, like they do in the jungles of Africa. You just need the beat. And that's why that beat was brought over to America, because it actually does do things that is pretty shocking. So, the control room was fine. Everything was normal. It was just like with rats are. You know, they get along, they fight, they do normal stuff, you know. And, you know, the babies that were being born were a normal litter, you know. When I was a teen, I used to raise rats for the sake of having something to do, and mice, and it was, you know. But, you know, pets have all sorts of these weird animals. And you know, like the rats will have anywhere from 4 to 6 babies. We call them pinks, you know, little pinkies, because they look like little tiny people when they're first born. They're no hair, just pink. And the next room with the classical music, the rats didn't fight. They were more calming. I mean, there was a more calming atmosphere in there because of the classical music. And they were a little healthier, not much, but just a little. And the babies were 6 to 8. They were having more in the litter, and everything was going on fine. You know, the hair on the rats had a little, like the adults had a little bit more of a sheen to them, whereas the normal rats were just normal rats. I mean, they got their sheen, but nothing compared to a rat that's exceedingly happy. But the rock one, where they had rock music piped in, the rats were losing their hair. They were kind of no sheen. It was like dusty. Fighting all the time. The parents were only, the mother was only giving birth to 2 or 3 babies, and then she was killing them instantly. She was just eating them. And I never realized that, too. Later on, we had gerbils and whatnot, and because I used to listen to rock music a lot before I was a Christian, and I would blare it in the apartment or wherever we were living at the time. I never put 2 and 2 together. Now, when I think back how the animals, the rats or the gerbils, they used to fight a lot when the music was running. I thought, you know, when you think back, you get like, wow, that's odd. Wish I would have caught that. But anyway, they found that rock music, they went a little deeper into it, and they found it, and I don't know if it's called endorphins. You know, I didn't look into it and see if, they looked into it, of course, but I can't remember exactly what it was, but there's a certain chemical that's generated. I don't know if it's from the adrenal gland or somewhere in the brain that when you listen to rock music, it is exemplified. I think it's dopamine, you know, kind of like the same thing with the cats that purr. It's like enjoyable. It gives you extra peace, and it's fun. It makes you feel like what's happening at that moment is fun, if you will. And so they had to dig a little deeper. And they found it was because the human heart has a certain rhythm. It has a certain beat. You know, Satan knows this. This is why he studies the laboratories of nature. We were talking about that last night, too. How he goes, you know, he digs in deep, and then he gets mankind to do things that he wants them to do without them even realizing they're hurting themselves doing it. But, you know. So they found that rock music, the 4-beat, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, the 4-beat, or how I guess they call it, is that the 4th beat? I don't know. I don't write music. I don't know. But they found that it's just like a half beat quicker than the actual human heartbeat. which tempts the heart, and it does force the heart to actually join in with the beat. And I thought that was really amazing when I was reading this, and they found that the dopamine or whatever, you know, chemical that's in our human bodies gets kicked up a notch, and it just goes, it coincides with what Barry Manilow's song, "I Write the Songs That Make the Young Girls Cry." That actually, I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that Satan wrote it. It was his coming out song, and if you want, I can read you the lyrics later. But it's strange how he even mentions it, where he says, "I wrote a little rock so that you can move." And it does move the heart to go a little quicker, which makes it feel fun. And this is why my foot went down on that accelerator. And it becomes addicting. You'd think that, I'm addicted to this band or I'm addicted to that band. I can't, you know, I love their music. No. Take away the lyrics, man. It's the music. And it's not so much the music. It's what it's doing to your heart rate that brings it up, that causes it to be. And when you're in that state, too, it's just like with these the NLP, you know, the preachers that use mesmerism or mass hypnosis, like a gentle form of mass hypnosis, where they'll use witchcraft in that respect, because that's more or less witchcraft. That's hypnotism is witchcraft, along with the parfuming or perfuming, however you want to pronounce it, to get people in a certain state, or even nostalgic. You get them in a nostalgic state, you can just pipe just about anything you want into their minds, and this is what Satan's going for with the rock music, and this is why some of the kids, like, for example, Judas Priest got sued because in their music, because music does control the body to some extent, like I just showed with the accelerator going down. This one teenager loved this one song so much that he played it over and over and over and over and over again to the point where he committed suicide, because in the song, in backward masking, it kept on repeating, "Kill yourself." And they got sued for that. And I think they won because, you know, they're not going to allow something like that to win in the courts for the person's that were suing them, because then it would cause all sorts of problems for the rock industry, and you know who controls that. So he ain't going to let his favorite tool or weapon that he has fashioned against mankind to be compromised in any way. But I wonder if this is why I was the way I was when I was growing up. In fact, I know this is why I was the way, because all my siblings had the same problem when it came to music. Reason being, our parents had a strange love of music to where it was played via the radio in the kitchen of our home 24/7. My dad always wanted to be a... he was in a band for a while when he was young, and it was kind of like polka music or something like that. I don't know. He was mostly Polish, and so he was real good at the accordion, but I think it would have been better if he had played the piano, but I don't know. It's not one of the most popular instruments, but it is fun to listen to. When he used to play it, it was very soothing, because I like, you know, piano music and stuff like that. But I can remember my brothers and I racing to our bedrooms the very second our favorite song came on the radio so that we can bounce or rock back and forth on the bed while singing along to the song. We would crank it up a little louder so that we can hear the song, because the kitchen was downstairs, of course, and our bedrooms were upstairs. And then later in life, we had the garage bands, and one of the bands were so popular it ended up on local radio. And my brothers and some friends practiced the music in the basement, which meant you heard ear-shattering rock and roll for at least 3 days a week for years. How my parents lived through that is beyond me, but they didn't mind. They thought that there was going to be a success story coming out of there, and there would be all sorts of millions in the house. And I was surprised at my mom, but then again, I recall back when I was a kid, she had that radio on. She's the one to turn the radio on because my dad was at work all day. The only time they didn't practice it is when they had a gig or my mom had a headache. So, but later in life, when I met Christ, I discovered firsthand how dangerous the music was. In fact, even though I was busy exposing Antichrist on day one when I found Christ as Savior and left the Catholic Church, I had an intense urge from the Lord to investigate the music my brothers were still into. Because I love my brothers. They're my brothers. It was then I discovered what they call backward masking and how it all worked. And I again read another one of these, I guess they call them white papers today. Back then they were just doc files. But I don't know why they use the term white paper. It's a scientific publication, I guess. Some guy publishes it, a white paper. I don't know if it ends up in a regular magazine or what, it ends up in science magazines too. So that's usually how I got a hold of them. But this one scientist wanted to prove backward masking does work. And to where, and this is why they had these laws passed, I think it was in the 60s, 50s or 60s, with the subliminal messaging on theaters. They told them, don't do this anymore. You know, because all of a sudden it's flash on the screen, buy popcorn, buy Coca-Cola, buy a hot dog, whatever. And you wouldn't see it. It only happened for a split second, but all of a sudden you're getting hungry. So they already tested this out on humans and found it works. And now they're doing it in video games everywhere. Now it's still illegal, but they're just doing it. They don't care anymore. Yeah, John Todd gets into that too. And those videos, and they killed him for his testimony, what he exposed about the music industry. But I remember this one woman who was told to listen to a self-help tape as she was drifting off to sleep. They had a scientific experiment, you know, like a sleep kind of a, I don't know, like when people have apnea or sleep problems, they bring them into these rooms and they hook all these wires up to their bodies and let them sleep. Like, that's going to be easy. But anyway, she went to sleep listening to this self-help tape where you can't hear the person talking at all. It's just like waves washing on a shore or rain, thunderstorms, whatever. And in the background where you can't hear it, it's a man speaking in reverse, because that is actually Satan's native tongue. This is how he's able to make comments into our minds. He can't read our minds, but he can certainly pipe stuff in using white noise, if you will. Any kind of noise around you, he can just mask his suggestions using the white noise around you. And so what they did is they hypnotized the woman using witchcraft on top of it. And asked her to repeat what the man said in the self-help tape. She repeated it word for word, but the only difference was she repeated it forward, verbatim, word for word. And that's when they figured they had something there. And then they just matched that with the, well, I didn't see them do this, but I can match that with the technology, well, the research they've done on the human eyeball and how it works. Like right now, if you're looking at the computer screen, it's upside down on the back of your eyeball. But your brain flips it. And there's a reason the Lord created our eyes to do it that way. If you're in a strange place or something that doesn't make sense, your brain will flip it to try to make sense out of it. And if it does, it stores it in your subconscious and it makes it easier for you to step forward, if you will. Well, the same thing with the ears. If the ears hear something it doesn't understand, it's going to flip it or reverse it. And then if it makes sense, it'll store it in the subconscious. And that's why that kid committed suicide. He kept hearing commit suicide or kill yourself in reverse, but he didn't hear it bluntly. He just kept hearing it in reverse, and his ear kept flipping it forward to say kill yourself over and over and over again, and he eventually killed himself. So, and this is why I started going to try to help my brothers back then, to get them out of the music. Because I was showing him, I showed him the Led Zeppelin thing, the whole song Stairway to Heaven could be played in reverse, and it's just disgusting. Or Anton LaVey's daughter, or she did on Johnny Carson, just spoke in reverse. He says that's part, and I knew that too, because I knew some witches and stuff like that when I was a teenager, and one of the things to be able to enter into a covenant is to speak the language of Satan, they would call it, and that was just English, whatever language you have, or whatever your native tongue is, it would have to be done in reverse to please him, you know. But back then, I did feel an excitement whenever my favorite songs were on the radio, and this is one of the reasons, too. And I literally feel a heavenly peace deep inside that makes my heart smile when I listen to hymns now. You know, and the rock music, it's still kind of addicting. Like it happens like in a commercial, or you're sitting there waiting for the stupid ad to disappear on a YouTube video, and they got rock music. Or listen to Rush Limbaugh, and he starts off his program with some rock music. It still has that appeal to it. Even though I would never want to listen to it. And so I often listen to some gospel singers on my computer, before going to bed, because, it just hymns. No drums. I don't like any of that. I try to find them without the drums. But the reason I like to do it before going to bed is because it makes, and reading scripture, of course, you just read from Psalm or Proverbs, my wife and I were talking about, because that's, Fran likes to do that too. Have a beautiful thought in your mind before you go to bed. And, just having gospel music, and that you have a tendency to repeat it over and over again, like a song gets stuck in your mind. Here's a good way, like let's say you're in a store and you hear a song like from Madonna or some other disgusting, poor soul. Keep them all in prayer, of course. And it gets stuck in your mind. Here's an easy way to get it unstuck. start singing a hymn and then stop halfway through it. Don't finish the hymn. Your mind will want to finish it. At least that's what my mind does. And I'll turn on a song, like if I'm at home and I got a song stuck in my head, and I'll go to listen to a gospel song on the radio or on the I don't have a radio in the house, but on the computer. And then I'll get 5-10 seconds into the song. You don't even have to go halfway. Just 5-10 seconds into the song, and then stop it. And it really does lock that now. It replaces the other song, and it locks it in. And then all day long, you're stuck repeating that gospel hymn all day long. And that is no problem. That I enjoy doing. And I just love doing it that way. Because you can't help it. You know, you get on an elevator, what I hate too is like paying the bill for the internet. So that we can have this chat room. They put me on hold every time, and they got the same songs over and over and over again. This is like them for years. And I always have them stupid songs stuck in my mind when I get off. And so I do this thing with the gospel music. I go to the play a song, get 5-10 seconds in, stop it, and bam, locks it in. So I'm glad the Lord showed me that, because I was especially into the rock music when I was young. I mean, even sang in a band for a while. And I didn't, you know, I didn't really like that scene, if you will. But the beautiful atmosphere of the hymns, as long as the music is not intertwined with worldly ways, you know, like drums or singers seeking for self-glorification while they're singing, you know, really pushing it and trying to glorify their voice and say, look at me, look at what I'm doing. No, I just, you know, like the scripture songs we have here that Brother Eli or Brother Sean play in the room. You know, if you notice, there's never any drums. You never hear any drums, do you? So, but yeah, you know the types what I'm talking about, because like there's some people out there that supposedly are into Christian rock. That's oxymoronic as far as I'm concerned. You can't have Satan's tools and glorify Christ using them. I mean, you can't mix. Well, that's Babylon, to mix. You always got to mix truth with error. Well, they're going to do the same thing with the music. So, in any event, as Christians, we know all too well about how singing psalms and hymns, as it suggests here, can be a blessing to the heart. And so the Holy Spirit suggests this is the best music of all, as Colossians chapter 3 is talking about. You know, this is the best type of music for the Christian. So hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute. Oh, and if you want, I'll share that. Well, I don't even know if I have it handy, that Barry Manilow song. You wouldn't believe the way. This is why I believe it was literally, a lot of the songs are written by Satan. But this one here we could share it later, maybe after church. I don't know if I want. I think I have it already recorded on one of these things. But if you want to see the words or read the words on the website, just go to the search engine that's built into the website and type in the word Manilow, Barry Manilow, or just Manilow, or just Barry for that matter, Barry. And it'll bring you right to that page, and you can read it. And I carry it around with me because I run into a lot of young people on the street. I have a printout I made maybe 30 years ago. I was a Sunday keeper at the time. And I was showing them. I says, look at the words. And it really it drops your jaw, because you're sitting there going, wait a second, why is he singing like this? Barry Manilow always sang songs to, you know, girls and stuff like that, even though he was strange in that way. But he was known for love songs. And so... And this still sounds like a love song. But listen to the words. It just makes no sense. It's just, until you think about who's actually talking, then it makes a world of sense. It's like, whoa, that's actually Satan speaking through him. It's really shocking when you read it. So, anyway, again, hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.